1 Corinthians chapter 8. The key to this whole chapter, and it's not the only verse that's important in this chapter, but it does seem to be the essence of what this idea is all about. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't personally think that in the last 6 to 12 months that I've sat down in front of a pagan temple and ate their food. Okay, I mean, I just don't think I have. I didn't go to a Catholic fish fry. Are they good? Okay, anyway, I bet they are. Okay. Just monitor, Gary, keep monitoring everything. Okay. We'll keep our eye on it. I've got my people here. No sound popcorns when camera moves. That's interesting. I don't know. I came over here yesterday. I woke up yesterday morning and I'm thinking, you know, I think I want to go to the church and change some of the settings on the recording. And when I got over here, nothing back there worked. Yeah. And I'm take me 20, 30 minutes to figure out what's wrong. And I'm going, you know, had I not come over here today, had I just waited till tomorrow, it would have been a disaster. So we tell God thank you for everything. It's always His idea. Amen. It's always His idea. But anyway, back to fish fries and things like that. I don't know that I've ever had a situation where I have eaten something offered to an idol because my conscience said it was okay, because there are really no other gods but our God. But the essence of this chapter is in verse 9. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Now, I will say, and I don't know everything that there is to know about this. This was a topic of conversation one day. I will say that it appears to me that there's something that's moving into the fabric of America that we are going to have to get used to or start a war over it. And that is what's called halal certification.
Yes.
Okay. Now, let me just explain this just very quickly. Have you ever eaten kosher food? Kosher salt, kosher, you've been to a kosher deli? You ever had Hebrew National hot dogs?
Yeah.
Okay, Hebrew National hot dogs are good. I'm not a paid in spokesman for them, but I will tell you I prefer an all beef hot dog over a pork and chicken hot dog. But anyway, kosher certification simply means that in all the processing of this food, none of the dietary laws that were given to Moses were violated. In other words, you can guarantee that this hot dog is pure beef. It has no pork in it whatsoever. It has not been handled by guys who picked up pigs first here and then handled this. I mean, that's just how it is. Kosher certification doesn't affect you and I whatsoever. Has no effect on us whatsoever. However, halal certification, and I may be wrong on this, and I'm probably going to get a dozen emails today. I may be wrong on this. Halal certification is actually a blessing given by a Muslim cleric over certain food or something like that. There is dietary laws in Islam that are similar to what's in Jewish law. But the problem is the Muslims are far more superstitious about it. If you were going to buy a piece of ground sterling and you'd found out that somebody had slaughtered a bunch of pigs on there, you'd say, well, clean up the mess. I'm going to buy the property. It's no big deal. Okay? To a Muslim, if they find out that a pig has been buried or slaughtered on a piece of ground, they can't touch it. They have to stay away from it. Which, by the way, is good to remember.
Amen.
Okay, it's good to remember. There was a pig farmer down in Texas, and I don't know if the battle's still going on or not. A pig farmer down in Texas, and the Muslims bought land next to his property to put in some kind of Muslim worship center, and they were suing him to have him get rid of his pigs. I kid you not, this is the way we're going, people. But anyway, there is a question on whether or not halal certification involves a food that is offered to the Muslims. Believe that they don't worship idols, but they do. Because they go, part of their religion is that they face Mecca 5 times a day, every day, and pray. What's in Mecca? A thing called the Kaaba. It's this black square tent looking thing. That's their holy place. And on the corner, on the outside corner of one of these is a black stone that I can't remember the whole deal. I did a whole video on it and can't remember what I said. But that's an, they pray, they kiss that thing, they pray to it, they bow to it. That's an idol. Amen. It's what it is. And there is a question in my mind about whether halal certification involves blessing this food toward Mecca. If so, then it's a food that is offered to an idol. Okay? I don't know that 100% for sure. But it looks like that idea is creeping into our country. There are restaurants. Well, when we went to Kenya, there were restaurants that had certificates saying they were halal certified. Okay? And I'm going, wow, well, it's a good thing this is in Kenya. I come back home. Now there are restaurants in certain cities that have halal certification. In Manchester? Okay? In our backyard. Actually, in their backyard. Okay? They are in our backyard and Manchester's in their backyard. Anyway. It could be an issue. But let's look at what all this is about. Let's get into the scripture. And we'll get some wisdom from God. Now, it's touching things offered unto idols. We know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Doesn't matter to a hill of beans what I know or what I think I know. Let's see. Check mic jack on camera, but it's fine right now. Okay. All right. We'll do that. Anyway. We have knowledge because we have the scripture. And if we're not careful as a church, we will erect ourselves as higher than everybody else because of what we believe about the Bible. Let's not do that. Let's, however, love people that need to be loved. Let's have charity toward them. Let's care about people. And I don't want anybody to ever say about Mike Hoggard that he doesn't care about doctrine. I think you should know me. I think I care about doctrine a lot. I think doctrine is essential. I think what we believe and what this Bible teaches is absolute, and we cannot deny it for anybody for any reason. Can I love somebody that I don't agree with? Absolutely. Can I care about somebody that I don't agree with? Absolutely. Can I feed somebody, house somebody, shelter somebody that I don't agree with? I've done it for 25 and a half years. Okay? We don't always see eye to eye, but we love each other. We care about one another. And so if I walked around, well, I'm the man, that means I'm smarter than she is. I can program the remote and she can't. That means I'm better than she is. I don't love her. What I do is I love myself. And that's not charity. But if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. And I'll say this of me. I don't think I know everything that needs to be known about this Bible. I don't think I know it all. I don't think I have all the answers. I think in some cases I'm probably going to be wrong about one issue or another. That's just how it's going to be. But I will tell you this. What I would like for people to know about me. Number one, my love for the Lord Jesus Christ. My love for this church. My love for my family. My love for you people here, my love for you people out there, that's what I want people to know about me. Not that I'm the smartest guy in the whole church, because I don't think I am. Not that I know more than everybody else, because I don't think I do. But I would like to be known for charity first, then doctrine second. Does that make sense to everybody? Verse 3, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. So verse 4, as concerning therefore the eating of those things that were offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world. Who in here has ever been to the old cathedral in downtown St. Louis? Ever been in that building? You ever been in there? I mean, that's like a landmark here. I've been in there probably a dozen times. Did you know every time I walk, it's a historic building, been around since 18, blah, 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 I don't know when, okay? It's a basilica, that's some big thing in Roman Catholicism, that doesn't mean snap to me. If the building burnt down tomorrow, I'd wake up and go, well, big deal. I've been in that building probably a dozen times. I have never one time went, oh, there's Mary. Doesn't mean anything to me. You can have 15 statues in your church and say, well, that's Mary there, and that's Joseph over there. Oh, that's our Lord Jesus. You know, you can do all that. I don't care about that. That does not impress me one bit. You can do all that stuff. I don't care about it, because you know what? That's not God. I'm not bound to that. I'm not praying to that. I'm not regarding that. If some kid was in that church and hung a rope over it and was swinging on it, broke the neck off of baby Jesus, I would not care. They're nothing to me. Absolutely nothing. That is not my God. Because if some kid can break my God, I don't have a very big God. Amen. All right, we know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is none other God but one. Notice the capital G. There are little gods, plural, little g's. I just think the King James guys, I think they were pretty smart. I think they just pointed out to you who's who here. Big G, little G. There is only one big G, God. Now, you look in Ezekiel 28, you look in 2 Thessalonians 2, you'll clearly see that there is one who wants to be the big G, but he can't be. Amen? Because he's an idol God. It won't work. But anyway, for the verse 5, for though there be that are called gods, little g, plural, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, big G, only one. Now, the devil's called the god of this world. That title was given to him by God, big G. But the title was given to him with a little g. He is not capital G God of this world. He is the little g God of this world. God has ordained him to be in control in a limited fashion for a while. There's going to come a time when that amount of control is going to be increased, but it still will not be outside of the realm of God's ability to take care of him. In fact, this is really interesting. At the beginning of the millennial reign, the dragon, the serpent, is taken and cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. God actually sends down an angel to do that. Now, the devil was the anointed cherub that covereth. There was no other angel, from what I can read in Scripture, that was like him in power and beauty and wisdom and everything else. And yet God uses a subordinate angel, a lower angel. He empowers that angel to bind Lucifer with a chain and cast him into the pit for 1,000 years. I like that. I like that. Because what is man that thou art mindful of him, the Bible says. And God has given us the strength to bruise Satan under our feet. That's pretty cool. But anyway, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. One God. Now contrast that with the previous verse. Verse 5, we have God's many, Lord's many. If you go to England, what do you have to say to a member of a high-level member of parliament? You have to call him my lord. If you stand before a judge in England, you don't call them your honor. You don't call them judge. You know what you call them? My lord. That's what you call them. So, and England and other places like that, that's their deal. We got away from that. We didn't want lords over us in this country. It's interesting that we are going back to in this country lordship. Mark it down. All right? But anyway, so in the previous verse he says, God's many, Lord's many. In this verse we have one God and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. America is the last place on the earth where we shouldn't have lords over us. Because our founders, the guys that were fighting the war, said no king, but King Jesus. They meant it. They meant it. They were serious about it. This whole nation, I don't care what you hear, this whole nation was established on an idea. They said, you know what, let's let God be in charge of the place. Instead of the king. Let's let God run it. Okay? Now, we're taking that authority back away from God very rapidly and very quickly. It's not the government's fault, it's the people. And the churches. But anyway, back in here. Verse 7. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. I want to just address this. In every setting, whether it's a family, a church, a country, whatever, community. But let's say for us here, let's say in our families and in our church. There are weaknesses in every family. There are strengths in every family. I've seen that while the husband may be strong in one area, he is weak in others. While the wife may be weak in some areas, she is the absolute rock in others. Have I said something that's true so far? Okay. Same way in a church setting. I have many strengths. I was talking to Sister June back here. One of my strengths is get up here and run my mouth endlessly, without ceasing, on a variety of topics. Doesn't scare me in the least bit. All right? That's one of my strengths. However, if you have me walk into a room full of strange people, okay, like at your family reunion, okay, I'm very content to sit in the corner, back away from everybody. I did that. Sterling had a family reunion here. You had a birthday for your sister. And now, my brother-in-law, Robert, never met a stranger. So Robert shows up to this place, and he is sitting at every table talking about everything in the world to all these people that he does not know. Okay? And what I wanted to do was sit on the far corner table with my boys and just, when everything was clear, I'd run up and grab something to eat, come sit down. I don't know why that is. Okay? I have a myriad of other weaknesses as well. Okay? That's just one of them. But that would be the representative of all the others. The thing is, you do too. You have your strengths, but you have your weaknesses. In your marriage, there are strengths and weaknesses. In this church, there are strengths, there are weaknesses. I love the strengths. I don't know how to say it. I was going to say something about weaknesses. I deplore my weaknesses. I hate them. I hate them. Okay? Let's see here. Okay. There's a finger that if one of them moves the other one, I think it's this one here. Okay? You cannot move your pinky without moving or something like that. I don't remember which one it was. Okay? But there's some things you cannot do. Who in here can roll their tongue? Who cannot roll their tongue? Jimmy cannot. You cannot do that? Why not? You know, we're gonna have a membership thing here, and I'm just if you can't make a tube out of your tongue, I don't think we could have you as a member here. Here's my point. Jimmy cannot. There is no amount of training to make him roll his tongue. It is impossible for him to do it. My wife will never be able to speak Spanish. She cannot go. She can't do it. She goes. Okay. She cannot. She would never be able to pronounce fluent Spanish. Never. She can't. Do it. No amount of work, no amount of training. Jimmy's still going. Can't do it. But thank God there are people that can.
Amen. Amen.
What this chapter is really all about is that, let's say in a church setting, if there are those people in the church that for some reason they cannot do certain things, that never means that the people that can should say to them, you need to leave. It's not right. Okay? Now, Jimmy can build stuff. I've seen him do it. I can't. It's not there. Trust me, it's not there. I build like my dad, which ain't good. Now, Matthew, I think he's going to build like you. Okay? I think he's got it. His dad doesn't have it. I used to get picked on a lot. Some of you remember those days. Okay? Because there was things I couldn't do. Getting picked last in PE class, not the best thing in the world. Okay? But we all live through it. Let me say to you, this is not PE class. You know, Paul refers to Christianity as running a race. But the interesting thing in this race is that you don't have to come in first.
Amen.
But you do have to come in. There's a finish line to cross. And I think the greatest part of this chapter deals with those who are strong. Do not go after the weaknesses of those that are weak. He's going to give you an illustration. Verse 8. But meat. And I'm going to straighten something up here. If I ever get to it. I'm going to straighten this up. There was an argument I saw online about why the King James Bible was wrong, Wayne. And they said the word meat here is a poor translation, because meat infers the muscle tissue of an animal that you eat, like hamburger and steak and deer. We had deer steak the other night. Oh, it's good. They say, see, that's meat, but the word, the original whatever, means something else. Can I just suggest to everybody, let's learn English first.
Amen.
Before we go try to learn something else. You know what the word meat means? And I'm not making this up. It's related to the word meal. Have you ever sat down and had a meal? What did you eat at that meal? Veggies, mashed potatoes, or fried potatoes and onions. Okay? And beans and cornbread and fried chicken. Now we would call the fried chicken, well, I gotta have vegetables with my meat. The truth of it is we're using the word wrong. The word meat means a portion of food, meal. But we also use the word meal as something that we grind in a mill. Corn meal. So let's learn English. So the word meat here means any portion of food. Period. All right? Aren't you glad you learned English?
Yes.
So watch this. Meat commendeth us not to God. Did you know? Listen to me. Did you know that you cannot eat and satisfy God? I don't care. I don't touch pork, mollusks, shrimp. I don't touch that stuff. God said not to eat it. Okay? And why did God say to eat it? Not to eat it. It's unclean. What if God cleaned it? It's good to eat. Okay? But watch this. Meat commendeth us not to God. In the New Testament, there is not one thing that you put in your mouth that makes you a better Christian than somebody else. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Not one thing. Meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Doesn't matter whether you eat it or don't eat it. That does not raise you in the eyes of God to a higher status. All that is self-righteousness is all that is. Look at me, look at what I don't do, look at what I do. That's exactly what that's about. And this is at the heart of what Paul is getting at here. He's telling you, don't go around with your dietary stuff or well, how you do this and how you do that and everything that you do that's better than everybody else. And if you just wanted to be the kind of super Christian that I am, then you do like what I'm doing. That's Phariseeism and legalism, and it's not part of the New Testament grace that God gives us. Can I get an amen out of somebody? Verse 9. But take heed. So did you know that more than likely, I have consumed something that wasn't right? So what if halal certification means that it's been blessed by some Muslim person and blessed in front of Allah at that little deal there in Mecca? I had kinchik. I'm not sure, Sterling, but what we ate at kinchik there in Nairobi, that wasn't halal certified. Maybe it was. God didn't take my name out of the book of life because of it.
Amen.
Okay? But I'm going to use this illustration here. Okay? You all right there, Roy? All right. Because I'm going to use you. Okay? Let's say that Roy come over here to the church one day and said, where's Brother Mike? I need him. Gary says, well, Roy, I think he said something about he knew somebody up here at the smokehouse up here, and he's going to go sit down at the table and visit with them. Roy, if you need him bad, that's where he is. He's up there. Now, I don't think he's drinking. You know, he's just in the smokehouse having a Coke with somebody. Roy should not go up and try to get me out of that place. Roy don't belong in there. Neither does Brother Mike. Okay? It is a sin to drink alcohol. I go in that place. I buy a Coke, eat some peanuts. I have not sinned in that I've not drank the alcohol. But as far as my brother Roy is concerned, I have no business up there. And there is no way in the world that I can ever imagine saying to Roy, you know, Roy, one of my favorite places to go is up here at Smokehouse. And they got some good burgers up there. I don't know if they do or not. And I just like to go up there for the burgers. Why don't you come up there and have a burger with me? I'm going to defile that man. And his blood and his soul is going to be on my hands. Because that's his weakness, and he's been pretty honest about it. Okay? He's been pretty honest about it. Amen. That's exactly right. If I ever drove by the Smokehouse, and everybody in town knows Gary and Kay's car. Listen, I would not have to go, I wonder if that was Gary's car at the Smokehouse. Listen to this now. Verse 9, I'm going to finish this real quickly. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. I'm going to tell you something. It was a responsibility of everybody in a setting, whether it's a church or home or whatever, is to look after and be mindful of the weaknesses of others. My wife does not like to go camping. I'd be camping every weekend. I'd come from a campground to church Sunday morning. I mean, I would. But my wife does not like to go to camping. So I'd limit myself. I've asked her before, just being nice, you know. But I'm not going to force her to go. That's not her thing. I love my wife. I care about her. Okay? I want to see her happy. That's my responsibility as a husband. She has responsibilities to me as a wife. And I tell you, she's been a blessing to me. No doubt about it whatsoever. Now, our responsibility to one another here. Boy, I didn't want to do this. I'm having a really rotten day today. I don't have a reason for it. I do have a few little reasons for it. But I'm having a really sorry, rotten, low-down day today. Okay? And I'm sitting there at home going, I ain't going to church. And when you're going, you don't have any other place to go. And it's one of these deals where I can't be Mr. Smiley, happy face, super spiritual every Sunday. I can't do it. I try. But one of the ways God has weakened me is that when I'm really, really down, I can't hide it very well. I don't have that ability. And so the only thing that I can do, I'm left with literally almost no choices. The only thing that I can do on a day like this is ask you to long suffer with me. It's the only thing I can do. I can't make myself better. I can't act my way into a good mood. The only thing that I can ask anybody to do is long suffer with me while I go through this. I'm a human. A sorry, low down, filthy, dirty, nasty human made out of dirt. And so, rather than a congregation coming into church on Sunday and seeing their pastor not at his best and going, well, what's wrong with him today? You see, we can treat Mark McGwire and Albert Pujols that way. We can treat the Rams that way. We can't treat one another that way. do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So I'll tell you why some days God makes me very, very weak. So that I remember what it's like. Does that make sense to everybody? So that I'll remember what it's like. Verse 10, for if any man see that which has knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him that is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Mark that down in your Bible. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. That's a pretty big statement from Paul. You know what he's saying? He said, if I'm traveling around with Barnabas or Mark, one of these, and Paul had learned his lesson with Mark. Paul offended him. He said, if I'm traveling around with these guys and they don't think I ought to be eating this, he said, I would never put another one of those things in my mouth ever again. You know why? Because number one, I don't think I have to in order to be in good with God. He said, it's liberty. But as we are learning here in America, liberty has its limits. Amen? Liberty in the world has its limits. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for the goodness and the mercy, dear God, that you've had on all of us. And I thank you, Lord, especially for the goodness and the mercy and the Lord, just the long-suffering grace that you've had with me. Lord, I love this church more than I love my own life. I love them. I love these people. I love what you've done here. I love, dear God, those who are blessed by what's going on in this place today. Lord, I'm asking, God, for your help and for your favor today. But, Lord, I'll be honest with you. God, I'd rather you just give it to these people. I would. I would you just take whatever from me, God, and just give it to these people. And, Lord, just help them today and be a blessing to them. We love you and we thank you, Lord, for this good word. And we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.